the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience begins.
I'm here to meet your fate.
He's right.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Hello, folks. This is the What Are You Reading comic book show. We're back here live for another jam-packed episode of fun, comics, news, reviews. I mean, we got to try to think of a new way of doing an opening, and it never works. But anyway, this week's episode is brought by our new sponsor. Our new sponsor, Olive Garden.
Now you can create your own tour of Italy at Olive Garden, starting at $12.99. Choose 3 of 10 favorites to enjoy on one plate, plus unlimited salad and breadsticks. The best tour of Italy is the one you create at Olive Garden.
And the reason why we're brought by Olive Garden is because they are supporting of Satan, which we'll get into in a little bit. And speaking of Satan, we have on the line... Satan's number one worshiper, my co-host Jordan Worth Cobb. Jordan.
Hell, Satan.
See? I've been trying to get that evil out of him for a while now, but
Satan is the one who will bring us upon to the greatness of the world that we were denied so long.
See, you just jumped from Lord to Lord. Like a couple weeks ago you was bowing down to Doom. And
Doom has been taken down. For some reason, higher powers have forsaken our Lord God Doom. So I was lost in my faith until the kind words of Lucifer himself gave me such help in this world.
The only God we allow around here is a hammer wielding God. Okay, remember that.
'Tis a false god.
No, she's not a false god.
She is.
She's the one worthy enough to lift the hammer, so she is now Thor. Anyway, we're going to talk comics. We're going to talk more comics and even more comics.
Yeah.
And hopefully we're talking with you if you want to join us, because we take your calls on Skype.
Yeah.
We'll get into that in a minute. So how are you, Jordan?
I'm good. I'm feeling good.
Yeah, feeling good, looking good?
Yeah.
What's so good about you?
I don't know. I'm alive, not dead, so that's good. I'm working. Trying to get work while working on my own stuff, and got me a good woman. No, things seem pretty good.
Okay. Take your word for it.
How about you?
My life is a mess.
Does this have to do with last Sunday?
What happened last? No. That's not. Why you gotta bring up old stuff? Why you gotta bring up old news? Okay. I've moved on. And you just gotta bring up the past. Rub salt in the wounds. Okay. Remember
hey,
that.
Hey, I only ask because I'm concerned about you. I care about you.
No, I moved on.
Love
Let
you.
Me move on. Anyway, let the people know how they can join us.
Yes, people. There are really just two ways in which you can get in on this fun. And that fun is where you're in comic book show, which you can call into by going to Skype and calling and or adding the contact silver surfer_forever. It is all lowercase to help out your search. Or you can go to www.rantemradio.com/chat-listen-live to listen to the show live on the air and type on the chat room with me, Stanley Kubrick, and pretty much any other people. By the way, Stanley, that is not whiskey. This is an ice-cold cherry Coca-Cola. So, eat a dick. Ha-ha. So, those are numerous ways in which you can join us. But it is also at www.rantemradio.com/chat-listen-live. That were in addition, again, to listening to us live on the air as you type in the chat room. You can, you know, listen to us and listen to the other fine shows throughout the week. We'll be on a loop. But hey, if you can't listen to that, well, if you can't listen that way, I understand. You're busy. I'm busy. Surfer's busy. We're all busy people in this crazy, crazy world trying to make a living. So there are a number of ways which you can listen to the show on your own time and at your own convenience. There is Stitcher, Internet Radio, there is Podbean, Blog Talk Radio, but of course you can listen to us also on the almighty iTunes. Open up iTunes today and search for
Rant. We gotta get you some music
Rant.
To play in the background while you do this.
What?
So we gotta get you some music to play.
Yeah, it's like dun, 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 you know, right, you know, old timey radio stuff. But yeah, let's work. Maybe we'll do it like post show. I'll have something then. Who knows? But again, open up iTunes today and search for Rant Entertainment Media Radio in the pod.
Hello.
Fire there. Rate us 5 stars.
You going in and out, Joey?
Any other show or any other show or all the show. It would be very helpful to us.
You just went in and out there for a second.
Hello?
Yeah, I hear you now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, testing. 1, 2.
Yeah. I can hear you.
Okay, well, you... you know...
don't worry. In lieu of last week's clusterfuck of a show... I have a backup device with Skype pre-installed, just in case things go to shit.
Okay.
So, yeah. Don't worry, I got it covered.
Says that our connection is not strong, so...
Eh.
I don't know if it's on your end, my end, or both of
I've ends. Done everything after last week's, disaster of a show to try and rectify things. Like I said, this weekend, I uninstalled Skype, wiped it clean off my computer, reinstalled it. Seems to be doing good. I was just on a call with a few friends before the show. Seems to be doing good.
Oh, friends.
But again,
again, huh?
I have a life outside the show, Surfer.
Yeah, but you don't talk to me on Skype as a friend. But that's okay. All right. Let's move on. No need to bring up old stuff.
But look, again. But again, as a backup, I am borrowing a relative's iPad, which has Skype on it. I did it after last week's show, just in case something like last week's should happen. So we'll be good. And I tested it on there; it's fantastic. All good.
Okay, got some box office numbers for you.
All right, give them to me.
Number one movie of the weekend.
Yeah.
Kung Fu Panda 3 came in at $41 million.
People still love Poe.
I enjoyed the movie a hell of a lot. I don't know what some critics we talk about. They don't get it. They just a bunch of duty heads. But I ain't gonna mention no names. I ain't gonna mention no websites. They know who they are. I know they listen to this show. Anyway, Star Wars came in third place. It just won't go away. The Force Awakens added another $10.7 million. For its grand total. of 895 million domestic and 1.983 billion worldwide. So
Star Wars made more money.
Yeah, it'll be over 2 billion soon. I was wondering if it was going to make a billion domestically, but it doesn't have enough momentum at this point. So that won't happen until they re-release it sometime later on this year, which they probably do. They probably will. Just before the next Star Wars movie come out, they'll do a re-release. So that'll probably catch up with the help it catch up at the box office then. But it's not going to go past Avatar anytime soon, so. Any other movies? Nope. Everything else, don't
nope,
relate to us.
Nothing's coming to mind.
No, Norman the North. No one cares about that.
Nope.
All right, so that's your box office report.
Yay!
Let's talk about some TV shows.
All right, let's talk about some TV shows. Where do you want to go?
Well, let's get with the new one.
Yeah, Lucifer.
Because a lot of controversy with this show.
Yeah, by an organization that ain't shit.
I don't say that. We'll get into it. So anyway, pilot episode, apparently Satan, Lucifer, that dastardly devil, he's kind of tired of being a jailer and being lay with the bad guy, and
he's bored.
Yeah, he's gonna, you know, roam the earth, but come to Earth and have a nightclub and pick up women and drink. And
why not?
And of course, I forgot the guy's name. He's an archangel, right?
Emmendale.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, yo, you gotta get your ass back down to go back to hell. And he's like, look, son, I ain't doing what you say because, you know, I can do what I want. Dad can go jump in the lake. And so he's living in L.A., you know, City of Sin. And he's picking up some woman when she's gunned down. And so he's now curious to why somebody did that. And he comes across a detective who's on the case. What's her name?
Chloe.
Right. Who he decides to help to solve this murder because, you know, he's bored and he wants to punish those that did this woman that was in his protection wrong. And so, of course, his ability to read the darkness in people don't work on her for some reason. Do they get into why it doesn't work on her in the book or?
She's not a character from the book.
Okay.
This is not the book. Well, sort of, but Lucifer the show is basically a more supernatural version of the TV show Castle.
Explain the book. Explain the book.
Surfer?
Yes. Can you hear me? Here we go. Skypes. People, apologize for the mishaps. Jordan got cheap Skype.
Oh, really? Because mine was working fine. You dropped out for me.
No, you dropped out for me. So, explain the
book. Okay, as I was saying, this is basically a supernatural version of the TV Castle.
No, explain the book to everybody.
All right. Basically, the Lucifer book was, well, more or less, yeah, Lucifer runs Lux. You know, hot spot piano bar in Los Angeles with Mezzakeen as his confidant. And he's obviously in internal conflict with Emmendale over in, like, you need to go back and rule over hell. And really, the book, the Lucifer book by Mike Carey, was more of a deep meditation, a look into the nature of free will. That's what the book was. It was a great look into the nature of free will while Lucifer went about and, you know, came across some things. It really wasn't like as structured as this TV show is. Now, this TV show, again, it's pretty much like Castle. A detective gets caught up with someone who's really not a police officer, but is of great help, i.e., you know, Lucifer has, you know, can make people, you know, spell out their greatest desires or the exact information they need. And they just move on to the next suspect once they get a name and, you know, so solve crime.
It's a police procedural.
That, yeah, that's not the book. Again, the book was a look into the nature of free will, a deep, insightful look into that. Whereas this, yeah, again, police procedural that even that in the pilot alone kind of got repetitive.
So I take it you didn't care too much for what you saw.
What?
I said I take it you didn't care too much for what you watched Monday.
Okay, could you repeat that? You broke up.
You didn't care for the episode.
No, I found it just blah. Here's the thing. I like Tom Ellis as Lucifer. I think he's honestly... I think he does have a quite charismatic charm and wit about him that he plays very well as Lucifer, I believe. Like, yeah, okay, he's a good fit. I like him. He is good for this role. He fits perfectly. But I'm not too keen on the plot. Again, the whole going to see one... again, I know police procedures can be repetitive, but again, this is a really repetitive sequence of going to ask people to give up the identity of the next person in a chain of suspects. It just got... It was just... Man, are we really gonna do this? And then we circle back around to the first person. I was like, "Oh, gee, what a big goddamn shock!"
Let's see. You know, sometimes a pilot is shot, but then they get it. You know the rest of the shows is done better. Let's see if they repeat this in the next episode or not.
I'm well aware of that, and again, we're watching the first season, so I'll give it that. But again, I'm just not the biggest fan of the pilot, because, there's barely any thing worthy of what I liked about the Lucifer comic in here, in all honesty. I will say, I did like the little nod, because Sandman, as we know,
why do you keep clearing your throat?
What?
Why do you keep...
It just got a bit dry, so my bad. I forgot to pull away from the mic. Look, what I like was a little nod towards the creation of Lucifer in here, because he debuted in Sandman number 4, and his appearance as stated by Neil Gaiman is solely based from David Bowie. And so the first thing we see once we get into Lux is like Fame by David Bowie's playing as he's strolling along, big dick swinging at the club. I'm like, okay, that's okay. See what you did there. Cute little nod. Tom Ellis is good. I think some of the effect shots are kind of interesting, but that's mostly with Emmendale's wings. The coin that he's floating could use some better CGI, if I'm being honest. I also did not find the detective, Chloe Dancer, but played by Lauren German. I did not find her interesting in the slightest. She was bland to me.
What about the little daughter?
She was fine. She was okay.
You know, it's a little creepy that this daughter is, like, taken by this person supposed to be the devil. Like kids are supposed to sense evil. And, she's like hugging on him. But getting back to the whole thing, see, I don't know the book to compare the TV show to. So, but what I saw of the TV show, it was standard. Let's see how the relationship builds between Lucifer and the detective, you know, and hopefully it won't go down a romantic slant, because you don't necessarily always have to throw that into a TV show. I hope there's like a overarching story plot that starts to develop more than just, all right, someone's murdered, let's go find out who did it. And, you know, I was waiting for somebody to say, if you're here, who's guarding hell? Get it? You've heard that joke before, right? Now, Jordan, I pay you a lot to laugh at my jokes. Uh-oh, Skype must be messing up. Yep, sure did. Oh, man, I can't do a show like this. People, again, I apologize, because only with Jordan Cobb. If somebody want to call in and come to co-host for this evening, you know, I'll gladly replace Jordan. Are you back?
Fuck!
No, Tourette's. No Tourette's.
Okay. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm seriously headed up with Skype. I'm switching over to the iPad. Hold on.
All right. He's switching. He's a switcher. So, anyway, if you want to try out for Jordan Cobb's award-winning Jordan Cobb's position, just send me a line at silversurfer_lives@yahoo.com or send me a message on Facebook. I'll gladly replace him for a hamburger or $2.50 or, you know, anything, because can't take it. Can't take it at all. Let's see who's in the chat room. Let's see. Iron's in the chat room. Stanley. Got some anonymous users. Any questions from the chat room? Okay, Jordan's calling back in. You're late for work. I'm a Dr. Pay.
Okay. Like, okay, seriously, I'm done with the whole joking of Tari. I am... Oh my god, this Skype, I swear, I'm going to destroy it. Skype, I want to punch Skype in its dick.
Okay. So, what's the last thing you heard me say?
Hey, you were talking about the show.
Yeah, okay, like I was saying, I was hoping there's a overarching storyline develops. More than just past, someone's killed, let's go find out who did it. You know, let's see the conflict between him and this archangel, and you know whether there's some other evil that's coming about that maybe Lucifer knows about and needs to put an end to it, or you know, let's see what happens. You know, now that he's not down hell, or let's see who escapes from hell that he has to deal with. You know?
Yeah.
Like that. Make it interesting. Like, change it up, because if it's just
Again,
I got a murder. It. Let's find out who did it.
Again, I just found this
and
pilot.
And then flirt. Here comes a little girl hugging on Lucifer. Then I might have to agree with the Million Moms. Like, get this shit off the air. Now, this is a Fox show, so. Now, you want to talk about the Million Moms story right now since we,
Well, again, I just overall impressed with the pilot. I just found it boring and just not too much to entertain me or even really to captivate me. I hope this can improve, but otherwise, my only recommendation towards Lucifer would be just read the comic. It's so much more interesting.
Well, you can get away with more in the comics. Now, the
reason it's not just that, but also it's just a way more interesting story.
Now, people, the reason why I ran the Olive Garden commercials, because Olive Garden was a sponsor for this show. And because of that, a million moms are deciding to boycott Olive Garden. So
yes,
there's going to be plenty of pasta sticks, pasta and breadsticks available for everybody who's living a life of sin, people.
Olive Garden, which claims to serve Italian food, quote unquote, is boycott? Yeah, because they're a sponsor. So of course, since 1 million moms gets in a hissy fit almost anything, they're saying we cannot endorse this place for sponsoring a spiritually dangerous program. This is what 1 million moms asked viewers to take action against on their website, which, by the way, once again, doubtful that's an actual million moms, because
there are a million moms out there.
Well, yeah, but this organization ain't gonna make any sort of sense. This is what they said. Contact Olive Garden, and contact Olive Garden, who sponsored the spiritually dangerous program Lucifer and paid corporate dollars to promote their restaurants in association with the content of the program. Use the information we provide on our website and let Olive Garden know that its advertising dollars are supporting sympathy towards the devil and glorifying Satan, and that financial support should be pulled immediately. And I just sit here and chuckle because that's not going to happen.
Oh, boy. That damn dastardly devil. Always trying to influence our children. Always trying to promote evil and wickedness.
See, I mean, hearing about...
things were simpler when you would just put on a robe and sacrifice a goat or something to Satan or a virgin or something. I mean, I'm confused. Anyway, what's the next TV show? Because we don't want to spend too much time on this. It's too much evil.
Let's go to a good show. Agent Carter.
Yeah, so Peggy's still out there in California investigating the events of last week's Zero Matter incident where there was an explosion.
Yes.
What's the name of that company?
I forgot. Hold on, let me look it up. What? Keep talking.
Oh, so,
Iodine,
okay.
Yeah.
And so, there's pressure from Peggy's bosses to, you know, just let this go, because Hydra's everywhere, and they're, you know, they're a corrupt part of the government, and Peggy's boss, what's his name again? Why am I blanking on names all of a
sudden? Thompson.
Thompson, sorry. Yeah, his character has regressed from last season. Because last season, like by the end of last season, he was on board with Peggy, and it seemed like he knew her worth, and wasn't thinking that she's just a woman, just have her answer the phones. But for some reason, it's just like he just wants to get credit for doing good and getting medals, and they've turned this character backwards when it comes to Peggy. Like, Peggy's like, oh, something's wrong here. And he's like, don't worry about it. Because he got somebody else in his ear. He got Kirkwood Smith
in his ear. Well, that's the thing. Thompson's trying to advance his career highly so he can be, like, top dog and whatnot. And this is kind of undoing some of the, you know, development that was done with him towards even respecting Peggy a little bit from last season. And also, he's kind of really the least interesting character on this entire show overall.
Yeah, but he shouldn't be. I mean,
chief who sacrificed himself was a more interesting character.
Maybe. Hold on.
No, maybe about it. He was.
Okay.
I like the reveal that Wilkes is still alive. That he's a bit invisible. Like, he's.
So Edward Jarvis, of course, is helping, and we got Howard Stark and his clownishness. He's kind of a cool clown, you know, Howard Stark. And it seemed like we got Whitney Frost, who's Madame Mask in the comics, and Jason Wells. He's the color of the show. And they do like pointing out that he's a black man in a world that don't want black people. And question is, when are we going to get to some S.H.I.E.L.D., some real S.H.I.E.L.D.? I mean, like they have when are they going to start forming S.H.I.E.L.D. with her? When is she going to start putting that together? Because right now
they need to stop dragging their feet with that.
Yeah,
it's getting to. It's getting to the point where it's just do it already.
I'm done talking about that. I'm sorry, people.
But hey, no, but I'll say one thing I did love with of this episode. Howard Stark is back.
Yeah, now, do you think that they're doing him right by having him come in, like, once every three or four episodes, or he should be on there all the time, you think?
Well, Dominic Cooper's a busy guy. He's got a lot of projects. So, to understand. So, I like how Howard just comes in when it's needed. It's like, he's not going to be a... he's Howard, you can't talk... Okay, well, see, here's the thing. Right now, Howard Stark, where he is in that current time of his life, he wouldn't be tied down. He's just gonna he is gonna be all over the place. Howard Stark at like the beginning of Ant-Man by John Slattery, yeah, I believe that. But him, you know, gallivanting all about being Hollywood and such, that makes a lot of sense right now. And I think Dominic Cooper really plays that. I love the charm and wit and charisma that Dominic Cooper plays Howard Stark with. He's great. He has spectacular and sparkling chemistry with Haley Atwell and James Darcy, especially at the pool scene, with the party and whatnot at Howard's Manson is fantastic. So, I again, it makes sense that Howard Stark right now would be coming in and out because he's not a guy that's going to be tied down. He hasn't met, you know, his future wife.
And how long before Dottie Underwood show back up?
I'm going to sit. Well, I believe we are getting towards the halfway point of the season. We're already three episodes in.
Yeah, this is what, 7 weeks, right?
7 weeks, 8 episodes.
Right, okay, so. What show you want to talk about next?
I don't know, you choose. I already chose. You can go.
Well, this Flash, which got the return of Eobard Thawne, but the original Eobard Thawne came.
OG.
Yeah. Who traveled through time. This is like the first time he's traveled through time and met the Flash in the Flash's timeline and found out about everybody that he's going to dick over in the future, Cisco and Dr. Wells and Barry and stuff. And it was that conundrum with whether or not they should stop him so he doesn't do the things he's done already, like go back into the past and kill Barry's mother and kill Dr. Wells and so on and so forth. But him being stuck in that timeline started to cause Cisco to have problems.
Yep. And we also had stuff going on with Francine, Pat. There's a lot of things going on in this episode.
Yeah, but a lot of it a lot of it was just side stuff going on. Like, okay, yeah, Francine, she's about to die. Which they could have killed her off a couple episodes ago, but they're dragging
No. Once Wally got introduced, we're definitely gonna see more of the character in her last moments. There's gonna be a goodbye for her. There was no way they were just gonna let her die off screen with this much emotional.
No, I didn't say die off screen. I'm just saying. They could have ended that a while back, but you know they kind of stretched it out.
I get what you're saying.
And then of course, Barry, you know, he's only supposed to be with Iris, so any relationship he's in going to end. And apparently, his relationship with Patty Spivak came to an end. But she's not stupid. She realizes that he's the Flash. So.
Yeah, and how they end that was actually very nicely done.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, again, this may be the best overall episode they have had since the season finale, Fast Enough.
I don't know. I haven't felt anything as far as The Flash or Arrow that has been great since it's come back. I mean, they've been...
Really? I've been feeling a lot of Flash greatness. Some Arrow, but a lot of Flash greatness.
No, I have not seen it. I mean, there's some specks of some good stuff going on, but the overall episodes, they've just been... They've been cool. It hasn't been nothing of like, why? That's something I gotta watch over and over.
I'm still feeling the Flash. Flash to me is still best.
I didn't say I'm not feeling the Flash. I'm just saying it's just...
Okay.
I was just saying myself personally. We got,
But yeah, no, I love this episode. This episode balanced so many storylines very well where it could have just botched the whole thing. But it worked.
Sorry. 2012 was on my TV, people.
Well, that turd.
What do you mean? The world came to an end. How's that a turd? Anyway.
It's a bad movie.
Excuse me. Arrow. Got some new players on the board. What was the name of that group?
Shadowsphere.
Shadowsphere, yes. Who, wanted something that,
Amanda Waller?
No, her organization.
Argus.
Argus, sorry, what? I am blanking on everything. Okay, wanted something that Argus knew about, and so they put up an elaborate plot to misdirect everybody so they could get into Argus to get this information on some kind of... It's a program, right, they was looking for?
They were looking for codes to,
Some doomsday device, it seems like.
Yeah, some sort of... It was a MacGuffin, basically, so...
But
Rubicon! They were looking for the Rubicon.
Rubicon, yeah, I know what it was called. But the main thing is... They killed off Amanda Waller.
Yeah, they did.
And you know why they killed her off, right?
Because people might get confused because of the movie.
Which is why DC is not going to get nowhere near Marvel when it comes to what they're doing. Look, and this is not to say that I'm rooting for Marvel over DC or want one to do better than the other. Far from it. What I want is for both companies to give me quality content that I can just, rub my chest on while I'm watching it and feel happy. But
that's oddly specific.
But the thing is, DC has a problem. It's called Warner Brothers. And Warner Brothers thinks that, one, they can't mix the TV and movie properties. And they think that if it's in movies, then it can't be on TV. So this is the second character they killed off the television show because it's part of the movie franchise now with the Suicide Squad.
The other being Deadshot.
Deadshot, yeah.
Which is a shame because guess what? I really, really like Arrow's version of Suicide Squad.
Well, the thing about Deadshot is they don't want nobody to be compared to Will Smith. He's too big of a star.
That is very true.
You could have two different versions of Amanda Waller, and nobody's going to sit there and say, well, what's going on here? And they killed the unceremoniously. Cap popped her in the head and showed the bullet in her head, too. So
yeah, just bam. Okay, well.
No life, no dummies or life model decoys or... Now I'm guessing that she'll show up in flashbacks. I don't know if that's the case or we'll never see her again on flashbacks. But yeah, Amanda Waller is dead as far as Arrow's concerned. Unless she walks in and it's somebody else and says, "No, I'm the real Amanda Waller."
Unless that was Metamorpho.
No.
Doubt it.
I doubt it.
Anyway, okay, so on to the episode itself. Really good episode. I think one of the better ones of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a heavy focus on Diggle. Even the flashbacks were about Diggle and his brother Andy. And how it connected back to not just the plot of this episode, but apparently the plot of all the flashbacks.
Don't be killing off Diggs. I'm sorry. Don't kill off Andy. I mean, don't kill off Diggle. If that's him in the grave, I'm done. I am.
I. These flashbacks were a welcome change of pace, since the flashbacks of this season have not been that entertaining. I just haven't been feeling them. I'm not that all interested. The only time it got interesting was with Constantine.
True.
I just can't. I what is Oliver doing? I don't really care about that. I just don't. I can't care. Ugh. I will say the Felicity stuff.
Got to mention Felicity is in a wheelchair. Because she's going to be Oracle. Did they call her Oracle yet?
No. Yeah, she said, I thought of a nickname, Oracle. Oliver said, I like it, but it's taken.
He said that?
Yeah. Did you miss that?
No. Yeah, I did. I got to go back and look at it.
Well, yeah, now you do. You're welcome. That
so they're trying
around.
To say that Oracle already exists?
I don't know what they... I think that was just a slight nod to the fans. And, you know...
Well, everybody knew they was going to turn Felicity into Oracle. Because, one, there is no Oracle in the comics right now, right?
What was that?
There is no Oracle in the comics.
Barbara Gordon.
No, I mean, she's not Oracle right now.
Oh, no, she's not Oracle right now.
Right, and they have not made a new Oracle.
No, they haven't. There is no Oracle in the comics. In current DC continuity, there is no Oracle. Paralyzed or... not paralyzed.
They need to have Oracle, because she was an interesting character to have, as far as somebody, giving the heroes information while they're out in the field. They could rely on look this up for us. You know, you need that. This is the 21st century, people. You need to have people give you what's on the internet. You know, somebody look up Google. Because you don't have time to look up Google when you're punching somebody in the face.
That is true.
How many more shows we got? One, two?
Supergirl. I think that's really just about it, Supergirl.
No, we got Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, right. Supergirl. I like Supergirl. I really like Supergirl.
Supergirls are dealing with the white Martians. They introduced... John Jones's enemies, the White Martians, for the first time,
and in this John Jones centric episode,
right? You got a little more backstory about how his family was wiped out by the White Martians, and of course he escaped. And they're trying to hunt him down and kill him because he is the last Green Martian. And subplot. Cat Grant's dealing with her son that she didn't take care of because she was more worried about making money than being a mother.
Adam.
Yeah, Adam. And
played by Blake Jenner, the real life husband of Melissa Benoist.
And there's some romantic tension going on there.
Yeah.
And
that was an okay stuff.
And Toy Man's son, man, he's. That dude, I'd
win,
yeah. Fuck, if I was him, I'd tell Supergirl to go to hell, man.
Well, that no.
Look, she knows that. Look, he been trying to get with her even before he found out she was Supergirl, and she's like, oh, I don't see it. It's just my friend. She friend zoned him.
Man, it is a good thing you are not a writer on this show.
That's right. This is a good thing.
No, because that's horrible what you're saying. But I actually like the interaction between Kara and Wayne, because it actually feels natural.
It doesn't feel natural.
No, it does. It actually feels natural what might be happening in that situation, because with something like that, you're going to need time. All right? You can't just constantly be
She's
around
not
it.
She's not even entertaining
things...
the fact that there could be something romantic going on there.
Well, she doesn't see it that way now.
Then forget her then.
Us again, really?
You know,
good
go
thing you're
go fight
crime
me on. I wouldn't help her. You want something looked up on the internet? That's your problem.
I'm again, real good thing you're not a writer on that show.
That's right.
You delusional son of a bitch.
You know,
again,
No, if you ain't, if you ain't gonna take a, if she ain't taking off the cape for me, then I'm done. I'm out.
Again,
go find yourself. Again, go find yourself somebody else to friend zone, okay? Because I'm not. I'm not with
the
it.
The interaction feels true because again, this is a long time. This is a long-standing friendship that's got fractured a little bit. It's gonna need some time to heal.
It wasn't it was,
they need to learn. No. No, listen,
but he wasn't trying to be a friend. He wants to be more than a friend.
I know.
She's
that.
Always known that. I mean, he's always tried.
I know.
Shut he down. Wants... You know what? Can't be friends. I'm sorry. I'm out.
Really?
Yeah.
You're
I'm
just
going
to throw it all away just
got
because.
It. Ain't doing me no good.
No. Again, what I like about this, and let me get through this goddamn point, is that, again, yeah, he cares about her as a friend.
Give me the
much...
number to your sister because I'm done with you.
I don't have a sister. You
I'm not
know
talking about
that.
Your sister. I'm talking about her sister.
Again.
Give me the number.
Can I say my point? God damn it.
No. No, because you're making me mad. Give me the number of the Supergirl sister now. Cause if
no.
If you don't want to get with me, she'll get with me.
Let me. Look. With look again, as much as Wit, as much as Wynn care wants to be more than a friend, he still cares about her. As a friend on a deeply emotional level, and to be constantly around her with that awkwardness around, it's going to destroy the friendship, so having some time apart is good. I like the two interactions. When he's getting on the elevator and she... When he's getting on the elevator and she's getting off, again, feels real. I like that. That was some of the better stuff of the episode. And do not go around doling out relationship advice because you would break up a lot of couples. Please don't.
I'm just tired of the CW drama. That's all.
That this is CBS.
No, but seriously, Legends is tomorrow.
I didn't even get to the. I wasn't on Supergirl. We just got off on a whole tangent.
What else about Supergirl? Besides
John
her friend zoning.
John Jones was great in this episode. I loved the emotional weight behind the story of John Jones and even further fleshing out his character. That was fantastic. And props to David Harewood.
I gotta say something though. The John Jones effect is starting to look a little bit looking pretty cheap each time they do it.
It's looking pretty good for me.
It's looking cheaper. It's looking cheaper and cheaper every time I see him changing it into his Martian form. Like, there was a scene, it really looked cartoonish.
And, it's, yeah. Okay, it's not the best. It could be improved, but it's not too bad for me. And it's kind of a bit cartoonish, but it's not too bad where I'm put off by it.
I don't know, I'm just saying.
Again, we got off on this whole tangent. I wanted to bring up David Harewood because he was amazing in this episode. He absolutely played Martian Manhunter perfectly, and was just absolutely just amazing. He was fantastic. He really made this episode his own. Just great. And how he relates it to Supergirl on an emotional level of them having lost, you know, their entire. You know, race of people and such. It was nicely done. I liked it.
Well, Legend of Tomorrow. Let's get to the second part of the pilot.
Part two of the pilot where I feel like I can actually give it a full review now.
So, Rick Ponder picks up these people. They travel through time. They go back to the 70s to try to stop Vandal Savage there.
Mm-hmm.
Where they come across the Hawks. Child from back in the day, you know, they had a child the last time they had reincarnated and fell in love. And that child had been studying them for their eventual return back to life at some point.
Yes.
And it got murdered from Kronos, because Kronos was sent by
Time Wave.
That's what they called?
What, the spaceship?
No, not the ship. The people Rip Hunter works for.
Oh, the Time Master.
The Time Master, yes. To stop Rip Hunter from traveling through time and messing up the space-time continuum and bring the TARDIS back to Gallifrey. Did I get that right?
I see what you're doing. No, it's not. I don't know what that planet is. I don't know.
But it is Rory, though, right?
It's Rip. It's, come on, say Rip Hunter, man. Come on.
So Rip Hunter. Okay. So they're still back in the 70s, and you know, each time they try to, these heralds and villains try to do something, they don't want to listen to Rip Hunter because he lied to them once, and they go off and they mess up. And they messed up big time already.
Well, it's still relatively within like a few hours of what just happened in the previous episodes. So they're still right. Going to be like, "Yeah, you lied to us, so fuck you."
So, there was a situation where they tried to find Savage, and they found him at a villain auction place where he was selling off a nuclear bomb, and they got found out, and they got into a fight. And Ray Palmer's piece of his tech got knocked off his armor, which, of course, if you get advanced technology in the wrong time period, you screw everything up. So they have to get this back, and they got to find this piece of technology, and the person that helped them is one of the characters on the show, Martin Stein, but they want to find his younger self because he has a device that'll help them find Ray Palmer's missing piece of tech. At the same time, they discover that the nth metal is on his knife that they can use to destroy Savage, and they go to get this knife, only to find out the knife is already owned by Savage, and they run into him. And there's real consequences on the show because Hawkman is killed off. Okay,
yep.
Now you're just slurping in my ear. You know what?
What?
I heard that. What are you drinking now?
I'm drinking water.
Don't be so loud with the water.
Well, again, I'm on the iPad now, because apparently my computer Skype can function outside.
At least you can't type, so. I just heard some clicking.
Anyway, that's just me being a dick. Hawkman, the ending part with Hawkman was a definite surprise. I don't think
it should have been a surprise, because they, like, when they was talking about Legends of Tomorrow, Hawkman wasn't part of the original plans. You know, they didn't mention that Hawkman was a part of the show until, like, later on. It's like, yeah, it's going to be Hawkman, because they mentioned up front that Hawkgirl was going to be a part of it. So...
The actor's in the opening credits, so he's clearly a serious regular.
No, not necessarily. I mean, he could be taking out the credits now.
No, it's possible. No, that is true, but it's possible they may.
They could pick up another reincarnated version of him in the future. That's still open to happen. Yeah, now that he's dead, he could reincarnate, and they go pick him up in 2020 or some shit like that, you know?
Yeah, no, they could. So, but yeah, no, that I'm saying I didn't expect it this early on, like something like that to happen this early. Again, that's the part that was a surprise to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I was getting at. That's the part that was surprised me that they would do it this quickly. And at the end, Kendra's heavily injured, so they gotta go off. I found this part of the pilot way better than last week.
Yeah, it was better. I mean, they probably should have just gave us a 2-hour episode last week.
Oh, very much agree. The plot settled, and now this episode felt a lot more confident and stronger in itself, and more finding its voice as to what it really wants to be. And I honestly appreciated that. Again, now that as a full pilot now, I would say, like, if I gave it a grade, I would give it like a B, because again, there was still like that hefty exposition at the beginning that we had to get through in order to like go and get things booming, bang, bang, bang.
Mm-hmm.
and whatnot. But now, but this week, again, far better. I really liked a lot of the performances. I'm still loving White Canary, Captain Cold and Heatwave, and Firestorm and the Atom is my highlight to the series overall.
Well, how do you feel about Vandal Savage?
I'm liking him as I go. I haven't quite felt a deeper sense of bravado.
What about Damien Dark showing up?
That was cute. That was.
You think it's going to tie into what's going on, or it's just
doubt it?
Need some bodies. And...
I doubt it. I don't know. It could.
I'm surprised Ra's al Ghul didn't walk into the room.
But Ra's al Ghul showing up at like a weapon stealing, it stands to reason he would send like a high ranking member of the League of Assassins to go in his place, because it's like, you know, I'm Ra's al Ghul. I got better things to be doing right now than going out there. So stands to reason he would send Damien Darhk in 75, who is still a member of the League of Assassins at that time. So again, cute little cameo. The effects were great. I really liked the stuff with Firestorm in this episode particularly. What they did with Professor Stein was great. That was some nice character work. Especially Victor Garber getting to act against the younger version of Martin Stein.
You know,
I thought that was wonderful.
You know, I love how pot is just so casual these days in television and movies. And...
Well, yeah, because I think more people are realizing marijuana ain't that bad. Oy.
When have you tried cannabis?
I am not going to reveal that on the air. You're not going to get me to do that right now.
Oh, you've been corrupted.
Because, you know, hey, I kind of live in a state that does not legalize marijuana.
Okay.
And thus, I will not discuss it on the air.
All right, so Jordan wants to bore everybody with his comic book he read called Ringside. So,
well, it's better than boring everyone with your voice.
All right, you fired.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't like me snapping back?
No, because that's not your job. Your job is to sit there, take it, and smile. Say thank you some more, please.
I'm not a fraternity brother. I don't do that. This ain't no rush week.
Don't make me whip your ass. No, seriously, tell us about your book.
All right, look. We talk about comic books, and we are on a predominantly more wrestling-oriented radio network. All right? I mean, yeah, there are other shows aside wrestling. I mean, we got tons of stuff, but wrestling is mainly what Rant Entertainment Media Radio deals in. And there's even some cross-section between comic book and wrestling fans. So right now, Image Comics has a new ongoing book out right now called Ringside. A comic book by, let me bring up the name so I can know how to properly pronounce the creators, Joe Keating and Nicholas Barber. Keating is the writer, Barber is the artist. Now, the book centers around Dan Quiñones, a former wrestler known as The Matador, who is coming back he's been working as a developmental trainer and whatnot over in Japan. But he's coming back to the United States to wrap up some business of an old friend of his, and he gets caught up in something big. Now, what I like about this is the honesty. There's an honest love of professional wrestling in this book. It treats it with respect, but it's also it does tackle some of the more sillier aspects with some of its commentary between some of the people in the wrestling business. Like even the recent Bird issue, there was a production meeting where it seems like it was even a commentary on how current WWE management is, if you read into it like that. And for me, it was a bit reading into it, but also realizing, yeah, they're talking about some of the stuff that WWE has some problems with, like sometimes not willing to put over a few of the younger upstart talents, favoring people, favoring the more muscular people, not even really, and the people they bring in to help write and create some of this stuff. It's very fascinating. The character of Dan Kionis is very interesting because as you can tell already, there's a lot of regret and hurt in this man's life. There's something going on with him that there are more layers to than what you see on the surface. I will say the art by Nicholas Barber is really good. It's got a nice simplistic style. It does facial expressions very well, and it's not really showcasing a lot of wrestling so far, art-wise. But when they do, it actually looks dynamic. It flows pretty well. It looks nice. Sometimes not every character, you can't detail every face, they're not George Perez. Sometimes the face will look a bit wonky when it's like, they gotta give a central focus to one character over the other in a panel. But I still find it really good. It's an atmospheric book. It very much it's very light when it needs to. It's very dark when it needs to. It's entertaining. I'm finding it very, even the letters column. I read the letters column of the first exercise issue, and the creators go about like, look, we love wrestling. This is what influenced us. We want to do this story. And it's very interesting. And so there's a lot more that'll be going on into the book as it goes on. So, again, if you're a comic book fan and or a wrestling fan, look, this is a great intersection. I would like for more people of Rant to check out this book. Rantless, what are you reading, listeners? Listeners of any other Rant EM radio show, please go and check out Ringside. Again, it's by Image. It's from Image Comics. There's free issues out right now. Please go to your local comic book store and pick this book up. It's really entertaining. A great, nice personal character study of a former professional wrestler down on his luck. And it's going, and I can't wait to see where it goes.
There you go, Double A. Something for you to read, you non-comic book reading person, you.
Yeah, this is the perfect book for Double A. Double A, why don't you get in on this? Come on, man.
See, Double A, he just don't want to admit that he could never read. He doesn't know how to read a comic book. He doesn't know how to look at the pictures correctly, which is why he doesn't read comic books, because it's he can't comprehend it. Not everybody can read a comic book, but he needs to admit that to everybody, that he just don't know how to pick up a comic book and read it properly. So it's okay, though. It's okay. So
we're not all naturally born readers and whatnot.
What do you mean?
I recommend it. Please go read it.
I could read comic books from the beginning, so. I came out.
All right.
I came into this world with a comic book in my hand.
Really? Did you? Which one?
What do you mean, which one? Silver Surfer.
Of course. All right. So, hey. I don't know if you heard, Surfer, but there's something going on next Sunday.
Yeah, Super Bowl.
Bloomingdale's having a big sale. I can get myself some new pants. But yeah, okay, yeah, Super Bowl. Yeah. Super Bowl's going on. Deadpool's got plans for the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Deadpool's got some plans about Super Bowl 50 next Sunday. Apparently, Deadpool's going to have a special food truck outside the stadium.
Selling chimichangas.
Yeah, right. He even got Ryan Reynolds. Deadpool got Ryan Reynolds to start handing out chimichangas at Levi's Stadium.
What is a chimichanga anyway? What is a chimichanga?
It's like, okay, I think the best way to put it, like a deep fried burrito.
Okay.
Let's go with that. Yeah, there'll be food. Ryan Reynolds is going to be handing out chimichangas even on Saturday before hosting a special Super Bowl screening of Deadpool.
So people at the Super Bowl get to see it before everybody else.
People go, yeah, a week before.
Well, if you're in New York City and you have a Deadpool costume, you can go screen it there too. They're gonna
Yes, the Deadpool Beauty Pageant.
Right.
Deadpool Beauty Pageant. Let me pull details on that to help
basically, they're gonna let anybody dress as Deadpool in, and the top 10 dressed Deadpools get to sit in the VIP section. Now, if you're not dressed as Deadpool, you can still get in if there's any seats left. But there's so many fucking crazy people out there dressing like Deadpool.
Yeah. The pageant and screening will be held on the day after the Super Bowl, Monday, February 8th at 5:30 p.m. Eastern at AMC Empire on 234 West 42nd Street in New York City.
I've been to that theater.
You can even check the full rules and regulations for the beauty pageant at Eventbrite.com/just go to Eventbrite.com and look up Deadpool Beauty Pageant. It's a long web address, man. So, yeah. Well, speaking of Deadpool, when Deadpool's not having a major story arc, main story arc in an upcoming comic book, someone else is taking over for Wade Wilson. Deadpool, 2099.
Just can't, have Spider-Man have his own 2099. Everybody got to have a 2099 counterpart.
Hey, Punisher had one. The Avengers have one. But, yes, Deadpool, 2099.
But the thing is, though, Deadpool will be alive in 2099. You do know that, right?
Oh, very much.
Because
so.
They did a storyline they did a Cable X-Force crossover where they was in the future and Deadpool was still alive.
Deadpool's going to outlive us all. Let's be honest. Deadpool's going to outlive every single one of us. Yeah. No way around it, man.
I really hope I get to see this movie early so I can give a review.
Yeah, by the way, Deadpool 2099 being Warda Wilson. Yes, Deadpool and his wife have a half Deadpool, half demon spawn.
What about Gwenpool? She's getting her own book too?
Is she? Is she getting a ongoing?
Yep.
Oh, right. No, Gwenpool's a different Earth. That's a different universe.
No, it's not. You haven't read the Gwenpool stories, right?
I haven't caught up with Howard the Duck. I just assume she's an otherworldly, because what else would explain that?
Well, she is crazy.
All right, you know what? Don't tell me. I'll read Howard the Duck. I gotta catch up on some books anyway.
What's the next story?
Well, I don't know. You got the doc as well.
No. See, I'm trying to play a video game at the same time. And
you are so unprofessional. All right. You know what? I'll get to
this. Hold on. Slow down. Slow. You roll. I'm looking for the certain story. And
what story?
Well, it's not a story. It's I know what I'm talking about. I want to talk about the new trailer for Justice League versus Teen Titans.
Oh, yeah, that looks good.
Basically, they're making up a new story where the Teen Titans, most of them you know, some of them you don't. So you have Raven, you got Starfire. And let's see, Cyborg's with the Justice League, but they're putting Damian Wayne Robin in the mix and Blue Beetle, Jaime Raven's Blue Beetle. And apparently, the Justice League is afraid of Raven because Raven is the daughter of Trigon, who's a demon from another dimension. They think that her powers may get out of control. And the Justice League want to put Raven away, and the Teen Titans don't want them to do that. So that's where the conflict comes in between the two teams. Now, normally, when you have a Teen Titans Justice League type of fight. The Teen Titans have some chance against the Justice League, but this lineup they got now, I don't see how they can stand a chance against the Justice League. I mean, there's no where's the firepower on the Teen Titans roster? I mean, Batman can take down this Teen Titans team by himself. I don't know if this is going to be a good movie or not.
I think it will. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, look, it's something. Okay, yes, we still gonna have the Justice League involved, but at least it's something else outside of a regular Batman or Justice League movie. We're getting something else. We're getting Teen Titans. I'm excited about that. I mean, again, yeah, we need the Teen Titans here, apparently. I mean, the Justice League here, apparently, to help us get a Teen Titans movie. But I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. I think it could be pretty damn great.
I think they're leaving out too many characters. If they're gonna do Teen Titans, I'm with it. But there's no Speedy. There's no Kid Flash. There's no Superboy. I mean, this team just seems underpowered and underwhelming. Other than they want to, and making Raven and Starfire into children again. Come on now. It's like,
again, we got core. I mean,
Raven and Starfire, they weren't even that young when they joined the Teen Titans back in the day. So why are they making them into like little kids now? I'm miffed on that.
We don't know the timeline of this whole universe. It's
what do you mean? I don't know the timeline. The timeline doesn't matter. They're making them a lot younger than we've known them to be.
I just want Teen Titans to work. I want this movie to work more so the Teen Titans part. Although they can prove the Justice League, that'd be great.
I got an idea for you. How about you take Teen Titans Go off the air and give us something worth watching when it comes to Teen Titans instead of, you know, trying to make a movie where they getting beat up by the Justice League.
Maybe Young Justice Season 3?
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen. But we are getting a Justice League cartoon.
And what a nice segue into Justice League action! Coming on the Cartoon Network, it will feature Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill. This is the official description of the series. So, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman lead DC Comics superheroes against their most infamous foes and adventures packed with relentless thrills, fun, and action. No need to wait for the good stuff to start. Each 11-minute episode jumps in with lightning-paced action heroics. Whenever defending the Earth, facing invaders from space, or battling the bizarre forces of magic, the always rotating team of Justice League heroes are up for any challenge. So yeah, we're kind of getting a okay, so it'll have a Teen Titans-based structure of 11 minutes each episode. That'll be interesting. And it'll be a rotating Justice League team.
I'm not even interested in an 11-minute show.
Give it a shot.
What kind of intricate story they're going to tell me in 11 minutes? It's just
going to... Man, you need to watch Steven Universe, man.
Listen, I don't watch Steven Universe. I tried watching it. It's not my cup of tea. I'm looking at the images from the Justice League they're about to come out with. And when everybody got these smiling children faces, that means they not going to give you anything half serious. It's going to be so lighthearted that they really don't care if I watch it or not. And I get you make stuff for kids, but we live in an age where a lot of people have grown up watching animation and still watch it as adult. I'm not the only one watching animation as an adult. Therefore, you can make shows that cater to me and the children at the same time. You don't have to dumb things down or make things
Yeah, but the kids need someone just for them sometimes.
They have plenty of just for them. Everything I see is just for them. And the only thing they make for adults is shit like Family Guy and Animation Domination and that kind of cartoon, which is basically jokes about sex and crude jokes. There's no action. I want some action.
I'm not the biggest fan of Teen Titans Go as well, but I'm gonna get.
I'll watch it too and see how it turns out. But
yeah, they even announced
an 11-minute episode ain't.
Again, things can work in 11 minutes. Steven Universe, Adventure Time, regular show.
I don't watch none of them.
Man. Look. Steven Universe is my prime example. They are Adventure Time. Look, they both can tell. Both those shows tell great, fully rounded, complete stories in 11 minutes.
Well, I do have Rebels, so.
Well, yeah, Star Wars Rebels is great, but they even announced, "Hey, James Woods is going to be voicing Lex Luthor. Dietrich Bader will be Booster Gold, alongside the rest of the cast." So, hooray! No date has been set as to when it'll, be announced. I mean, debut.
It might be out in the fall.
Yeah, most likely. These sort of things always seem to be. So, yeah. Look forward to that. Speaking of opposite of looking forward to, Fish Mooney's coming back to Gotham.
No, I like Fish Mooney.
Yeah, that's what's wrong with you.
No, it's nothing wrong with me. People didn't like her because of who she is in real life. Come on now. Stop fronting people. There was nothing wrong with her character. And,
yeah, there was.
I thought her storyline was interesting at times, especially when she was on that island.
No! That was terrible!
No, it wasn't.
It detracted from this.
No, that it was didn't.
No, that felt like an entirely, completely show edited into this already completely, entirely different show.
Well, I'm glad she's coming back now.
I'm not.
I'm on her side.
She should have been dead.
No, she should not be dead. Why are you trying?
She'll be back for multiple episodes in the upcoming second half, and somewhat will be tied into Hugo Strange and whatever's going on at Indian Hill. I don't care because it's Gotham.
See, Hugo Strange was part of that whole island storyline.
Ugh. Just don't care. Fish Mooney was not that interesting a character. So. I'm sorry. The writing around that character was terrible. As good a performer Jada Pinkett Smith as she couldn't save it.
She was fine. You just a hater. Hate.
I'm sorry. I have a different opinion than you.
No, your opinion doesn't count. Okay.
Neither does yours.
My opinion counts because it's my show.
This was like part of my show as well.
No, you are the hired help, okay? You need to.
You don't even pay me.
I pay you all right. I pay you by putting up with you.
You're full.
No, I have not got full yet, but I'll get full later when I eat. So, but anyway.
Well, speaking of casting, this time casting I get behind and whatnot. Stephen Amell's coming to 8 Legends of Tomorrow. Well, yeah. Again, as Old Man Ollie.
Who we've seen in the Dark Knight Returns. That Oliver they're talking about, right? That's the only Old Man Ollie we've gotten?
From Dark Knight.
Right. So
he's
going to have one arm?
In episode 6 of Legends of Tomorrow.
Is he going to have one arm?
Yes, I was going to get to that. In episode 6, which is titled Star City 2046, he will not only be a one-armed Oliver Queen, but he will be sporting the legendary Green Arrow goatee.
Yeah.
And his son Connor Hawk will also be involved. This is what Mark Guggenheim had to say about the episode. every once in a while we do an episode where the 10-year-old me has to pinch himself. We're not only introducing our version of Connor Hawk to our universe, we're going to meet 2046 version of Oliver Queen, and Stephen Amell is going to be reprising his role from Arrow. And that, as an ad bonus for comic book fans, Oliver is missing his left arm and will be sporting a goatee. And not of the character's appearance in the seminal Dark Knight Returns. We think this episode features some of the coolest things we've ever done. So I'm curious about that. I still love Amell as a Green Arrow, and seeing him sporting that famous facial hair will be quite fun.
I guess he's going to lose his arm in the rain because he's supposed to feud with Goldust again soon at some point.
I think so. I do believe the Slammy Award is somewhat connected to this. What was that?
Nothing. I was opening up a website and one of those hidden ads came open. Mike Coulter, who is Luke Cage in an upcoming Netflix series, has said that Iron Fist has already been cast.
They found Danny.
Yeah, Danny Rand, who is Iron Fist. Well, they, of course, Marvel hasn't announced that yet as to who playing them, because I guess they're not near shooting these episodes yet, so...
Apparently. Yeah, according to Mike Coulter, it's like, you know, he's in a basement somewhere. When time is right, they'll let him up and tell him where he
is. My guess is he may show up in an episode of Luke Cage at some point, and they just keeping that kind of on the wraps.
Yeah.
And
yes, they very much are.
We have to keep you abreast as to who's being cast as Danny Rand.
I hope it's Dan Stevens.
Dan Stevens or Stan Stevens? Said.
Dan Stevens.
Okay, why do you want him?
Oh, I think he's got a very charismatic look. He's got charm to him. And also, if you've seen the movie The Guest, which, by the way, highly recommended, he has a nice he has a good acting range to him. He can really put on a lot of emotion and whatnot.
Can he fight?
Oh yeah, he can fight. Oh, dude, that's the other thing. He could kick some ass. He kicked a lot of ass in that movie, which is why I also recommend him.
You know martial arts?
Some. Look, just watch.
Come on now, another Brit playing an American role.
What's that? Don't tell me you're going to get on this again.
I'm tired of them taking our superheroes from us.
Well, then maybe we'll get an American to play Captain Britain when that happens.
I'm sitting there and I'm seeing Heavy Cavill, and he got this British accent. That's Superman, damn it! And then they take away our Thor.
Superman cares about everyone, man.
They took our Thor from us. Well, nah, he's not British, but still.
Chris Hemsworth is Australian.
Right, I know, but still, he's not American.
That's a completely separate thing.
They took our Batman from us at one time.
Okay, now you're back on track.
They took a Spider-Man from us. Next thing, they're going to take Blade from us.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you going to be mad if somehow Idris Elba becomes Blade? Are you going to get upset by that?
Who could be mad at that?
Exactly. Because that's a Brit. You wouldn't be mad about that now, would you?
Now, see, he's not really a Brit. That's just a fake accent.
Really?
Yeah.
So
he's from South Central.
So you pretty much just saw The Wire and just realized, yeah, that's his accent.
He's from South Central LA, man. He can't front on me. I'm sorry.
Really?
That's right.
What? So I guess he really wasn't born in London, England.
SAG Award winning Idris Elba. Yeah, he's American.
2-time in the same night.
Yeah, for Luther. I still haven't watched Luther yet.
Oh my god!
I got it on the DVR, and I had to save it. Like, even if other stuff get erased, that won't get erased. So,
good. You need to watch Luther. It's so good. I love it.
Yeah, Luther. You see, I liked the Luther when you know, I do watch it. So, all right, what we had on the news? Hanna-Barbera coming to the comic books. You know
what coming to comics?
Hanna-Barbera.
Ah, yes, Hanna-Barbera. And, okay, I'll be honest. Okay, DC Comics announced a whole new line of Hanna-Barbera-based comic books this week. And I kind of wish that was what they were meaning by the whole rebirth and not another DC reboot, because that would have been such a great troll move. That, oh, that would have been delicious. But the world's not that perfect, people. So, anyway, yes, Hanna-Barbera and DC are making four new comic books. The Flintstones with Amanda Connor and Mark Russell. Wacky Raceland with Mark Sexton and Ken Pontac. Future Quest by Jeff Parker and Evan Doc Shaner. And Scooby Apocalypse with Keith Giffen, Harold Porter, and Jim Lee.
Sorry. Yeah, Jim Lee ain't gonna stay on that book for long.
Well, apparently, Scooby Apocalypse, according to Lee and Theo, is the crown jewel of the line. I'm gonna be honest, not too bit.
Future Quest is combining a lot of different franchises like Johnny Quest and Space Ghost, and
it's starring the action heroes of Hanna-Barbera.
Right. So this is going to be rotating stories in Future Quest?
Yeah, I believe so. And it's also the same team that does the Batman 66 book, so.
Now, I'm looking at the image for the Flintstones. And, what are they trying to do? Make them a bit more sexy or something from the cartoons?
I'm not that overly big a Flintstones fan.
You're never a fan of the cartoon?
I mean, I like it fine. It's just like, I find it okay. I'm not as
Fred's looking more buff than fat.
That is true. Fred hit the gym. Fred owned up to his New Year's resolution. That's what Fred did.
And then Wilma and Betty.
Woo! Hot.
Yeah. Barney looks dumb. Barney looks dumb and stupid. He looks like an oaf. I mean, like Barney is simple minded in the cartoon, but here he looks like he's dangerously dumb in this image. You got Dino. Looks like he could bite somebody's ass. I don't know the cat's name, but
Pebbles. Oh, the cheetah.
Yeah.
Pebbles
don't look as cute as she normally does, and. Yeah, Bam Bam, he's a terror anyway, so. And I guess I'm going to be curious how the rest of, like, Mr. Slate and, you know, are they going to have, like, special guests like Anmar Rock and stuff like that? Maybe the Rock will show up in the Flintstones.
Who knows? Scooby Apocalypse is just weird to me.
So, what's this, Scooby-Doo, Like, what time period is Scooby-Doo going to be in?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm looking at the image. Future, it looks like.
Shaggy got a goatee.
Tattoos.
You know what? I think it looks like they're taking the Scooby gang and combining them with DC characters. Like, Delma looked like she could be Robin in this image.
Yeah.
Shaggy looked like he could be,
Green Arrow,
yeah. So maybe that's what they're going with.
This book just looks weird. The ones I'm really interested in are Wacky Raceland, Wacky Raceland. Not too sure what that's all about. But
well, it looks like they're taking the concept of the wacky races and combine it with some Road Warrior shit.
Well, hey, I'm all for that. But Future Quest, that's the stuff I'm into.
Like, it looks like they're going to be lots of desert racing and probably being chased by some mutants or some shit like that trying to win a race.
Future Quest, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, Space Ghost, that's cool. I like Johnny Quest fine. I like Johnny Quest better when it's done as the Venture Brothers, and even when the Venture Brothers did Johnny Quest on that show.
Let's see. So we got Johnny Quest. We got Space Ghost, Birdman.
Brack.
The Herculoids. I love the Herculoids.
Oh, really? You're a big Herculoids fan, huh?
You don't like the Herculoids?
No, I like them fine. I just didn't know if you'd like them as well.
No, I always loved the Herculoids. That was my jam.
Man,
that's my jam. It said in Chipmunk.
I think I like
that's my jazam.
I think I like the Hanna-Barbera stuff when, thanks to Harvey Birdman, attorney at law.
Is that okay? The guy under Johnny Quest's arm. Who was that again?
What image?
Yeah, the guy with the horn on his head.
Yeah, I see which one you're talking about.
Is that,
I don't know.
I can't think of his name.
My mind is blanking on that.
I know the character, and I haven't seen him in a long time, but... it was one of those cartoons I used to watch back in the day. And who are these rubbery guys? I don't know who they are.
I couldn't tell you, but again, Future Quest has my attention. So yeah,
is this Willy and the Chopper Bunch? No, it's not Willy and Chopper Bunch, is it?
Maybe.
And who's the robot again?
I don't remember having.
If I don't know, you got to know it.
Really, is that the?
So, oh, okay. You know what? We're sitting here banging our heads. It's all listed here. So it's Johnny Quest, Space Ghost, Herculoids, Frankenstein Jr., okay?
Where are you saying this robot list? I'm not saying it.
The Impossibles, Birdman, you gotta click on the image, Galaxy Trio, and Mitor, which that's what I was trying to think of. Mitor, yes.
All right, yeah, there it is. Jesus.
All right, so Galaxy Trio is the one I don't know much about, per se. I do know Frankenstein Jr. I didn't know they would bring him back. Haven't seen him in a long time. So, any of these you think you're going to buy, or?
Again, Future Quest and Wacky Raceland are the ones that interest me most.
Okay, I'm looking at these images.
Read Flintstone's number one Scooby Apocalypse, but I'm still baffled as to Scooby Apocalypse. Like, why Scooby Apocalypse?
If they was just doing a straight up Hercules book, I would be in. But so when is this due out?
Hold on, let me look. Sometime later this year. There's no exact dates. No date, Surfer.
Oh, okay. What's the chat room saying? Anything?
There ain't been a... No, the last one was around our... no activity right now in the chat room.
Okay, have you read American Gods?
I love American Gods.
I haven't read it, so I'll let you take that one.
American Gods is maybe my favorite book by one.
American Gods.
Okay, do not. Don't even sully American Gods with that horrible theme.
Oh, from American Males.
Ugh, God, that was just ear trash. Just pure ear trash. Well, Ricky Whittle from the 100 on the CW has been casted as Shadow Moon. I've never seen Ricky Whittle, so I cannot comment if this is good casting or bad casting. I've never seen... Apparently, his other credits include Austinland, Holy Oaks, Mistresses, NCIS, and Holby City. Apparently, the son of a former Royal Air Force serviceman. And, yeah. Neil Gaiman made a comment on the casting saying, I'm thrilled to say that Ricky has been cast as Shadow. His auditions were remarkable. The process of taking a world out of the pages of a book and putting it on the screen has begun. American Gods is at its heart a book about immigrants, and it seems perfectly appropriate that Shadow will like so much else, be coming to America. I'm delighted Ricky will get to embody Shadow. Now the fun starts. And apparently, showrunners Brian Fuller and Michael Green said, "We searched every continent and country and all the islands in between for our Shadow Moon. We're lucky to have found Ricky. Fans of the novel will find him every bit of the heart of the character they fell in love with." Again, I've never seen this guy before, so I really can't comment if he's good casting.
You know, aren't American Gods superheroes?
Like, no, this
like
is
our,
not...
Our gods in America, we made them from gods to superheroes. That's who we look up to and write our mythology about, superheroes.
Well, this is a very different thing. This is a fantasy story.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
But, yeah. You know,
the real American guys are superheroes.
I see what you're saying. But, yeah, again, Shao's the lead character, so this is the lead star of our show. This is who we have. Man, I guess it's good. Someone in the comments or the chat room, tell me if you've seen Ricky Whittle. Is this good? Or if you also read American Gods. Can you tell me if this is good casting? Because...
I don't know.
I'm sure he's good. I'm sure he'll do a fine job. American Gods, once again, being developed to debut... supposedly sometime this year for Starz Television.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. By the way, also, if you have not read American Gods, do it. Do it right now. Get on that. Really can't recommend this book enough. It's maybe my favorite thing of Neil Gaiman's. Close to Sandman.
Let's talk about something besides comics for a second. Video games.
I like video games.
Yeah. You like Star Wars?
I have not gotten a chance to play Star Wars Battlefront yet, but I've played the previous two Battlefront games. Well, I like them. I like them a lot.
It's already shipped 13 million copies.
That's not a surprise.
It's only been out, what, like a month or a month and a half?
About a month and a half. It came out mid-November.
November 17th, right?
Yeah, November 17th. Oh, so well past two,
all right, 2 months.
2 months.
Okay.
It's been 2 months.
Now, I don't know how the numbers work for video game sales, like, you know, how fast a game sells or how big. You know, I thought game selling in millions was a normal thing, but apparently,
Electronic EA, which was by the way published the game, well, initially projected about 9 to 10 million copies, but then it was like 13 copies were was the target, and they got it. 1 million of these copies of Star Wars Battlefront, as reported by VentureBeat. Were bundled with sales of PlayStation 4 consoles, which apparently PS4 is the console to play. Is the console of choice to play Battlefront?
Yeah, it looks like the PS4 has won the console battle for this round.
Yeah,
which is
that's not a shock.
No, because PlayStation 3 didn't win it. Like, you know, okay.
No, I get what you're saying.
Real quick, on video games, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, when the first PlayStation came out, it had a competition with Sega and Nintendo and stuff. And the PlayStation was, you know, people wanted the disc, so, you know, it became the console. Then PlayStation 2, The reason why that sold the way it did was because in some countries, like in Japan, that was the cheapest Blu-ray player you could buy. Like, if you bought just a standalone Blu-ray player, it would cost you more than a PlayStation. So why wouldn't you just buy the PlayStation?
Yeah. You also got a free Blu-ray with it.
No. I'm talking about PlayStation 2.
Oh, PlayStation 2. I love PS2.
It was a cheaper option than a regular DVD player.
I agree. So, yeah, it was.
It went on to win the console role. So PlayStation 3 came along, and, you know, they had the whole, whether it was going to be Blu-ray or HD discs
it took Xbox a while.
Was pushing, but the problem with the PlayStation 3 was that it was more expensive than just buying a Blu-ray player. So that choice wasn't there. And, you know, the Xbox beat it in the Wii. Everybody loved the Wii because of the motion. But they came back with the PlayStation 4. And it's the PlayStation 4 outsold the Game Boy. So, which is something none of the consoles normally do. Normally the Game Boy outsells everything, but not this time around. So,
nah.
Nintendo, you got to get on the ball for your next console.
Come on, pick it up.
Yeah.
Also, maybe a few more Zelda games, I'm just saying. I'd like to play more. Yeah, I'm a huge Zelda fan.
Me too. I love me. That last Zelda game, though, that was okay. You just going around just hacking.
I liked it fine.
But I'm talking about the one for the Wii U, where you sit there and you run into a courtyard and you just start slashing on goblins.
Uh-huh. Well, hey, Surfer.
Yes.
CW. Get another show based off a comic book.
Comic book. See, we need to change the C. What? Because the C stands for comic book. What can the W stand for?
Windmill.
Comic reader.
Comic windmill.
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 No, I'm just throwing things out.
No.
No, Riverdale.
Yeah, people. Archie's coming to TV.
Yep.
Is this going to be animated or live action?
Live action.
Okay.
Set in present day and based on the iconic Archie Comics characters, Riverdale's a surprising and subversive take on Archie, Betty, Veronica, and their friends, exploring the surrealism of their small town life. Darkness and the weirdness bubbling beneath Riverdale's wholesome facade. Now, if I were to be a betting man, I would bet this is going to take a cue from some of the more interesting stuff that's been going on with Archie Comics recently, such like, you know, Afterlife of Archie, Jughead, and the current ongoing Archie book written by Mark Waid, which is surprisingly one of my absolute favorite books out there on the market right now. I've never been the biggest Archie fan.
I'm looking at these characters they got for this image in this article. This is not the Archie I grew up with.
Times change, man.
Yeah, well, where's the brothers at? I don't see no brothers in this picture. I see one sister over on the side. I think she's part of the Pussycats, right? Is that the girl from Josie and the Pussycats?
I think so. So are we going to start a Archie So White?
Yep.
Hashtag campaign.
Got to.
Alright.
We need to make Riverdale.
Alright, you heard it. Hashtag Archie So White.
We need some Hispanics, some Asians in Riverdale. You gotta break up this white power structure. I'm just saying.
Hashtag Archie So White.
Let's see how they make this show.
You wanna see how far this goes? You wanna see how far we can take this?
Cause Listen, Archie still sells as a comic.
Yes, it does.
But I don't know if the general mass of people really care about Archie as a character and whether that's just a character out of time, per se. And, you know, like, The older people may tune in and not see something they don't recognize, and then the young people just might, it's, that just might not be for them. I mean, unless,
well, let's
see if Archie smokes a doobie or something, and then.
Well, that is true. There's that interesting dichotomy of where it could possibly go. And I then, mean, who will this show drag in to have watch it?
And then they're making Archie look like he's kind of a jock in a way. Was he always a jock?
I don't remember. I've only now started getting invested in Archie comics.
Oh, okay.
He's although from what I can tell from some of the stuff I've read, he's never been that big a jock.
He need to make up his mind between Betty and Veronica. I mean, like,
I get
stuff stringing them along or get them both to join in together. I mean,
Nah, he needs to go for the redhead, man.
Redhead? Who's that?
I'm trying to remember the damn name.
Now, she's hugging on somebody else. Why are you trying to?
Oh, he spent too much time around them. He needs to go explore other options. He needs to play the Cherry Blossom. Cheryl Blossom, that's who it is.
Yeah, we talked about the Deadpool projecting opening, right? Already?
Yeah, we talked about it.
Was that this week or last week?
That was last week.
Because this week, they're projecting what Batman v Superman gonna open. They think it's gonna open somewhere around 150 million, which is a pretty nice penny. Now
that's some big coin there, man.
Now it would make it probably what top 6 or 7 biggest opening of all time.
Well, that's likely. It's
Let me look at the. At the box office numbers real quick. See where it would fall in if it brought in that amount. That's reserved for...
Look, it was going to make money. It was going to make big money.
But that's a lot for... That's a lot of money for a March movie. So you gotta,
oh, no. Yeah, it very much is.
Okay. Here we go. All time. Let's see. Opening weekend. All right, so if it brought in 154 million, it would make it 10th all-time opening behind the Hunger Games: Catching Fire, and just above the first Hunger Games. I remember when Spider-Man 3 opened up at 150.
You say Catching Fire? That's like the second one.
Hunger Games: Catching Fire.
That was a November release.
I didn't say about the release. I just said it would be behind the opening of Hunger Games: Catching Fire.
Okay. Or was
and it would be ahead release of the original Hunger Games.
Wait.
Now I remember when Spider-Man 3 came out and made 151 million. People were like blown away. Since then, there's been about 10 movies to make more than that.
I think so. I don't keep up with all that office.
Two Hunger Games, two Dark Knights, a Harry Potter, two Avengers, a Jurassic World, and a Star Wars.
That's quite a pool there, man.
Oh, did I say Iron Man?
Yeah.
Iron Man 3, yeah.
Well, speaking of Batman v Superman, they're trying to really pander to me by having a former Green Bay Packer in there.
Yeah, who gives a damn? So what about this? What about this bum?
Amon Green, former running back for the Green Bay Packers, and well, it's apparently got a role in Batman v Superman, and he is an avid, outspoken, huge Batman fan. He has a Batman tattoo, and a collection of memorabilia, and whatnot, and attends comic, and apparently he attends comic conventions cosplaying as Batman himself.
Okay.
Yeah, so he talked to the Green Bay Press Gazette, saying, "I think I'm more than an extra, because I got a lot of camera time." He said, my character name is Fug Number 2. If you go to imdb.com right now, I am on the cast list, so I think I'm more than an extra. That was
Fug 2, huh?
that was just a dream come true. Just a great opportunity that Zack Snyder and their casting director gave to me to be on set. Yes. And apparently apparently even talked about on the Just Not Sports podcast, which there's a link on our Facebook page, where you're reading Comic Book Show Facebook page. Go there and like it. And he talks more about it there, too. So, yeah. Good on him.
Good on who? Good on him?
I said good on him, yeah.
How come I can't get a movie cameo of some kind, you know?
I don't know. Maybe become a pro athlete first.
Why do pro athletes get all the fun?
Because they're athletes. I'm just making a bit of a guess. So, all right, I want to bring up this big story that people have been talking about lately. It's got to do with Walmart.
Wally World.
Yeah, I just don't get. I still don't get why calling it that.
Why they call it Wally World?
Yeah, I just don't get it.
Have you not been to a Walmart?
Yeah.
Have you not seen the bizarre people that show up at Walmart?
Yeah. Again, I live in Arkansas. There's a Walmart in damn near pretty much every town here.
Okay, so you've not seen the way people dress and look.
I have not seen any of the. All right, I'll just say
you've been to the Walmart page where they put all the photos at.
I know,
right?
People of Walmart.
Right.
I haven't seen any of those people in my personal Walmart. That's okay. We're getting off topic. God damn it.
We're never getting off topic.
All right, so this is the original story. It's been updated since, but apparently, following up on a partnership with Marvel and Viz, Walmart was in talks with Diamond Book Distributors for a dedicated graphic novel section in some of its stores, according to a report from Publishers Weekly. Diamond Vice President, and I apologize if I'm screwing this name up, Cool Lu Liang, revealed that in detail in an interview with PW's Cavalry, they're in talks of an increased stocking of Viz manga in the past 18 months. Now, I'll say, there are some comics and manga at the section of my Walmart. There are some mangas, most notably to me, One Punch Man. That's the one I recognize most there. And there's a copy of the third compendium book for The Walking Dead at my Walmart. And my small ass small town Walmart here. Liang said the Viz deal is a great example of a lot of comics people working behind the scenes toward a much bigger project at Walmart. Walmart wants to be a part of this. Manga is first, but other graphic novels are coming. And apparently, I saw this here too with these books that I'm about to mention. There were $5 editions in 2014 Walmart were selling of Marvel trade paperbacks, including Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Amazing Spider-Man, Big Time, Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Avengers, and Avengers Heroic Age. But the update of the story was on January 29th. Newsarama confirmed that Walmart had... Newsroom has confirmed that Walmart has dedicated graphic novel sections to set up in 50 of its U.S. locations as a test for further expansion. No details were given on the location or the precise titles being stocked.
So, people, you'll have a new place to go in and read comic books without having to pay for them. Walmart or Wally World.
That strange place with the people.
So you think more people will get into reading it with reading?
Maybe.
I don't think people that frequent Walmart can read, but that's just, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
So we just want to piss off audience down south.
I know. Every time I walk into Walmart, I forget how to read. I don't know why. It baffles me. I walk in and I just feel dumb as hell. It's frustrating sometimes.
Well, I'd imagine it is.
You've heard the rumors about Thor and Ragnarok.
I've heard them.
Twilight of the Gods. And Hulk being in there. And one of the rumors, of course, that... Who you calling?
I wasn't calling anybody. I was being called. I hung up. It just snuck up on me. My bad.
Why didn't they call the show instead of calling you?
Because I invite people every week.
Just saying, who's calling you? Is not calling the show.
My friends.
All right, here we go, all right, friends.
I already got friends that do listen to us. Okay, so
yeah, but they don't call in and talk to me.
Oh man,
they don't want to be my friend.
Can we? Come on, man. Do we gotta get into this again?
Yeah, I harp on old shit. But anyway.
Oh, you get on me about bringing up old shit.
Well, I can do that.
No,
so anyway, one of the rumors that the Hulk's participation in the Thor Ragnarok movie, that we may be getting out of that, getting a little Planet Hulk action going on here. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did. I read this.
Like, Thor's gonna end up on some distant planet, and he's gonna fight the Hulk. They're already battling like a la Planet Hulk. And they're going to fight their way out and have to get back to Asgard.
So people who've been begging for a Planet Hulk movie, you could be getting it.
But see, my whole thing is, I would rather have a Planet Hulk TV show than a Planet Hulk movie. Because that storyline, you can't do it in a 2-hour movie. You really have to plot that out. And that's something you would have to do over episodes.
No, I agree. I mean, I like the Planet Hulk animated movie just fine, but it's like this.
Man, fuck! Even with the cartoon, they cut that short. It was like, okay, they show you going on the planet, and then him being forced to fight, and then they couldn't use the Silver Surfer, so they used Beta Ray Bill, and they escape, and then he takes over. But there's more to the storyline than him taking on the Red King and defeating him, and they couldn't go into that, and the whole thing is him becoming the king of this world, and then the tragedy happening to him where his wife is killed off by accident, and he's blaming the Illuminati. All that's important to the Planet Hulk storyline, yeah.
No, I agree. Plus, I agree. I mean, again, I liked the Planet Hulk movie just fine, but yeah, it needed a little bit more.
Plus, the psychology of the fact that you got the Hulk, where he's in a situation where he can't revert back to David Banner at all, because his life would be over. Like he's in such peril, fighting all the time, and in this whole Gladiator situation, this dangerous planet, that he can't even revert back to being Banner for a second. And he's just getting stronger and angrier at the same time that he still has his intelligence. Because by the time he came back to Earth for World War Hulk, I mean, that's the strongest Hulk he's ever been.
Oh, very much so. I love Planet Hulk. Planet Hulk is one of the absolute best stories possible. Alright, and, well, I believe Marvel is trying to think of, like, man, I think we'd really like to do this, but we just can't find any sort of way. I think this is their one chance.
Well, the thing
and
is...
And also...
The thing is, Universal has the rights to distribute a Hulk movie.
I am very well aware of this.
Right. So, Marvel and Disney, they don't want to share that money.
No, they don't. But, this would also... excuse me. This would also do the duty of keeping Hulk off planet for Civil War, which is needed because, again, he's too much of a deciding factor. Whoever's got Hulk on their team, they're going to win.
Yeah, but the Hulk doesn't have to. He could still be on planet for Civil War. I mean, he'd just be hiding somewhere, South America.
You got to keep him elsewhere.
And
you gotta keep him far away.
Of course, Thor won't be around either. We'll see. We'll see how what they squeeze in. Because the Ragnarok storyline itself is something that you don't want to just gloss over.
Oh, yeah, no, that's huge as well. That's a big damn thing in the Marvel Universe.
You know, and hopefully they'll do it right and have Baldur involved. Because that's the one character they have not used at all. Is Baldur the Brave. He's the reason why Ragnarok goes down in the first place.
Very true.
And he don't even exist at this point, so.
Well, we got two stories left. Lexi Alexander, upcoming director of episodes of Arrow and Supergirl, directed Punisher Warzone. And she is still defending it. She said everything that movie was B movie-ish, but was a deliberate choice. Now, I'll defend this. Punisher Warzone is so far the best adaptation of the Punisher we've gotten outside of the comics.
I don't know. The Punisher character maybe his best, but the villains, come on now. You can't.
I enjoyed how
those villains were just, they were so over the top.
I'm sorry, did you want John Travolta's lame performance again?
Listen. They were in a totally different movie than that Punisher Warzone movie. Totally different. They was in some other cartoon. And everybody, like, that movie could have been so much better. It could have done so much more in the theaters. If they'd have took these characters, the villains, more seriously than some fucking Dick Tracy. They were fucking Dick Tracy villains from the serious take on the Punisher.
Okay, yeah, the character's right. Although I can still have a fun time with this movie, in all honesty, I still really enjoy it. It for honestly for what it is. She did an interview with CBR TV talking about her upcoming gigs with Arrow and Supergirl. And naturally, you know, something like Punisher Warzone's gonna come up. And such. And again, she's very much opinion. It's up on Comic Book Resources YouTube page if you'd like to watch it. I recommend it. CBR TV is a really good show. You get some good, Jonah Weiland gets good interviews out of comic creators. I find it very fascinating. But yeah, I still really like Punisher Warzone. It's not a perfect movie, but man, do I have fun with it. I enjoy myself.
Okay. I don't argue with you. It's late. What was that? I heard a ping.
That was not me. That was on your
end. It was you. I just said, what was that?
I don't know what it was. But hey, last bit of news. Delroy Lindo has been casted in Marvel's Most Wanted as Dominic Fortune.
That is the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff starring Mockingbird and
Lincoln.
No, Hunter.
Hunter. I got confused for a moment.
Which was a show they was going to do, then they weren't going to do.
But now it's getting a pilot. Just a pilot. Dominic Fortune is being described for the show as a former adventurer and handgun aficionado who once sought wealth and excitement with his globe-trotting odysseys during his ventures in the 1930s.
Now,
Fortune is a Marvel.
He was a Howard Chaykin creation.
Yeah, Howard Chaykin, created in 1975 in Marvel Preview number 2.
Do you like Howard Chaykin?
What?
Do you like Howard Chaykin?
Yeah, he's a good creator.
His characters, they look the same. He writes the same. I did love his take on the Shadow, though.
Yeah, oh man, he does great Shadows. His run is what helps to is what helps elevate Shadow to me. It's one of my favorites.
I wish DC had the courage to stick with that book, because I thought it was nice and sick.
I thought it was great as well. Here's some info on the character, known as David Jerome Fortunoff. Grew up in New York in the 1920s before assuming the name of Dominic Fortune. When he became a mercenary and costume adventurer for hire, and has encountered Iron Man, Captain America, Doctor Doom, Phil Coulson, so much more during his travels.
So, we just gotta get to the big story now. The
big what story. Big story?
Michael Jackson being played by a white guy.
You can bring up comic book related stories, but I can't.
That is comic book related. Michael Jackson was a comic book icon.
Okay, please go on.
No, I'm just kidding. Just jokes. Them's jokes.
All right, well, that's it. That's the show.
Well, let me talk about the other fine program here, Rant EM Radio.
Please do.
Now, we won't be on next week, people, because of the Super Bowl. But I will be on starting at 4 p.m. for our third annual Super Bowl pre-show, hosted by myself and joined by William Morgan from the Wrestling Calling Show. And we're going to break down the big game worth talking about between the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos. And what could be Peyton Manning's last game as a pro, hopefully, you know, got my fingers crossed. Yeah, we'll talk about
really?
That. Yeah. He needs to hang it up. He was done.
Yes. You're still salty.
No, I mean, even before last week, you could tell come on now. There's no reason for him to come back next season at all, unless he just... Unless he don't want to give it up, which in case they need to make him sit down. But anyway, tomorrow, 11:30 p.m. following Raw, will be a new episode of Talk Brunch Live. And they'll go over some weekly wrestling news and some other chat of Rick Darrow and Mick Wrestling and Padawan Jen and Fake Page and all the other fun characters they have on that show. And Tuesday night is the doubleheader night, starting with the Rant at 8 p.m. with Double A and Tony C, followed by Freaks and Effing Geeks at 11 p.m. live with Lee Champion and Rage and their zaniness. And you never know what adventures they'll come up with next week. Next Thursday is Rant Wrestling at 9 p.m. with, let's see, Mofo, Pootie, Doomsday, and that gang. This coming Friday will be Turnbuckle Throwbacks live at 9 p.m. No Phil, but Dave will be in the driver's seat, giving us whatever Black History stuff that he's going to destroy, because that's what he does. He destroys Black History Month one day at a time. So listen to that this Friday at 9 p.m. And the Wrestling Calling Show will be live Saturday night at 11 p.m. with William Morgan. It'll let you call in and talk anything and everything have to do with wrestling. And we'll be back in 2 weeks, Sunday at 5 p.m. live for the What Are You Reading comic book show. And in 2 weeks, that's Valentine's Day. So we'll have some love for you. Yeah. Maybe we'll talk a little love comic books, you know. Get a little romantic and sexy. Bring in some wine, some candles. Get a little close. Sit behind the fire. Talk about our love for comic books. Yeah. Love for comic books. We're going to talk about it. But also, that day, special show for our friend, Kid Human, who won an hour-long program. And so at 3:30 Eastern Time, him and our friend Stanley Kubrick will host an hour-long show where they'll talk about everything from... Did he say...
I don't know.
No. I didn't ask you to know. Did I ask you to know?
No, you didn't, sir.
Okay. Hold up. See, you're throwing me off here. You're throwing me off. They're going to talk about stories and news from July of 1989. So you don't want to miss that. 3:30 p.m. in 2 weeks. Okay? Kid Human and Stanley Kubrick. And maybe they'll come up with a name for that show or something. But maybe that'll be the start of a new show here on Rant AM Radio. The demand for it be so great that the bosses will give them a permanent show on this network. Who knows? And if you have a show, you know, you can contact the owner, AA, through this website, Rant AM Radio. If you want to petition him to bring your podcast to his network, I'm quite sure he will listen to your pitch. And if you have a good show, then, you know, I don't see why you couldn't be on the air next to us one day. Just saying, you know?
Maybe.
All right, we haven't heard from Double A in a couple of weeks. That's surprising. Very surprising. So, usually he's messaging me by now, but he must be doing something else. So that's it, right?
We
talked about our sponsorship with Olive Garden because of the devil.
Olive Garden.
Because
he's
of the devil.
Yeah. Hell Satan.
No, hell Satan. Come on now.
Hell Satan.
You know, one day you're going to be at the pearly gates and they're going to say, why should we let you in? Why shouldn't we send you downstairs? And then what you going to say?
Hell Satan.
Okay. I say, yeah, he was nice, but he wanted to go down there with Satan, so. Oh, Jordan, what you going to do with your week off?
Hell Satan, read more comics, do some writing.
Don't say I don't give you no breaks now, okay?
Oh, well, thank you, sir.
Don't come to me talking about you need a vacation. Because you're getting time off now.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. I'm just saying, you know, these people, they expect us to put on a show every week. And, you know, you think you're supposed to have time off for rest and relaxation. How dare you?
Well, I'm not rested, well, rested and relaxed.
Okay, you're breaking up.
If I'm not well rested and relaxed, how can I do my job, perfectly?
Okay. I don't know. You was breaking up, but you're back. All right, let's end this because I've run out of things to say.
Yeah, and also I gotta destroy Skype and apparently put it back together.
And I hope I came through clear enough because I worry that I'm not talking loud enough. So anyway, people, thanks for listening. We appreciate your support.
Until next
time. Say goodbye.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, and real quick, your Carol Burnett. She's a queen. She got a lifetime SAG award. She deserved it. So, see you later.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Come to the after party, people. Peace.